And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they had lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now drop down, if you will, to verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, there is no doubt, as you read the history that is given to us of the children of Israel, that the children of Israel had a memory problem. They had a short memory. 15 times in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, you find God instructing them and saying, remember. 15 times. Then twice in the book of Deuteronomy, they were told to forget not. Then additionally in Deuteronomy, they were told once to not forget. All right? So we're talking about 18 different times there that God instructed them and warned them, and basically he was saying, make sure you remember. Make sure you remember. Now, it's obvious that God knew they were going to need to be reminded constantly, lest they forget God and what he had done for them. So he just put it out there, and you'll find that Moses many times told the people, make sure you remember, don't forget. So it's not surprising then that God, we come to this episode when they're crossing the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, the promised land, that God said, all right, now Joshua, you have the children of Israel. And he used these words in verse 7, build a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever. He said, you have them pick up 12 stones. And he said, you take 12 stones and you have them take them out of the river. But then he said, I want you to take 12 stones and to put you in the river, all right? So leave those 12 stacked there in the river as a memorial, and then take 12 out. And we find there in verse 19 and verse 20 that they took those 12 stones out and they put them over around Gilgal after they had crossed the Jordan River. They put them there. He said, what for? For a memorial. Why? God said, don't want you to forget. Want you to remember. I want it to be there. I want you to remember what's going on. You say, why'd they put them in the river? Well, somebody said, well, even, you know, it was at flood stage, but even when the river went down, they could see, they might not see the stones, but they'd see the swirling water around those stones, and they'd say, hey, there it is, that's that memorial, all right? We don't want to forget it. Now, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you that as God's people, as Christians today, we're just better at remembering than they were. But man, I could tell you that, but it probably wouldn't be true, all right? It's not true. We're just guilty. Now, hey, they didn't have the scriptures, all right? They didn't have the scriptures. I think sometimes we forget that. We're blessed. We have the scriptures. We have all 66 books of the Bible, got the complete canon of scripture, so we've got it here, and we can come back and read it. We can refresh our memory, but God's people still forget. We still have a tendency to forget things, all right? They didn't have it. We do have it. Yet we forget God. We forget his goodness. So we need to be reminded again and again and again of the work of God on our behalf. On our behalf. We need to examine. I want us to do it tonight just a little bit. Examine this instance in the life of Joshua for our benefit. For our benefit. Really just 3 points, simple things. Number one, we're to remember. We're to remember. So what are we to remember? Look at verse 22. And verse 23, Joshua said, "Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over it." You said, what are we to remember? We're to remember the power of God. The power of God, all right? Hey, the God of the Israelites was a miracle-working God. I mean, all along the way, he is a miracle-working God. He said to them, I want y'all to remember how God dried up the river. Dried up the river. Now, hey, that wouldn't be a hard thing if it's Trinity. It wouldn't be a hard thing at all. But we're talking about the Jordan River in flood stage. In flood stage. I mean, it was out of its banks. It's going everywhere. And God dried it up. Why? Because there's a God of might. He's a powerful God. And he can do miracles. That was no problem for him. And can I just say this to you? He still works miracles. He's still a worker of miracles, you know. I think you said, well, what a miracle. Well, salvation itself. Salvation itself is an absolute miracle of God. You do realize if it wasn't for the miracle God's done in you, you'd not be headed to heaven tonight. All right? It is not anything we have done. Not anything we have done. Brother Whitaker sent me a book after we had been up there a day or two later, got a package in the mail, opened it up, and it's a book. I thought, where in the world? I didn't order this. And I was trying to say that so my wife would know this is not my fault. I order a bunch. But this one, I'm not guilty, you know. And opened up, got to looking at it, and I said, this is the book they were talking about. And it's a lady wrote a book about how her family got out of Mormonism, all right? Came out of Mormonism. And reading that book, I had no idea. Well, I won't say no idea. I had a little idea of what the Mormon people believed and what they practiced. But reading that book, I'm amazed at it, you know, and how much of the Mormon faith is built around not what Jesus did, but what they have to do. And if you don't do it, you're not going to heaven. You're not going. And now you may get up, but not all the way to the top, okay? And you've got to work hard to get there. I want to tell you something. There's not a thing in the world you and I do to get us out of this world, to keep ourselves out of hell. The only thing we can do is trust what Jesus Christ did. And salvation is an absolute miracle. And we ought to never forget that. We ought to never forget that. When you stop and realize, man, I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, they're under the blood, they're never to be remembered again, well, that's all because of the miracle-working power of God. Hey, he still works miracles, all right? Hey, I believe he still works miracles on our behalf. Some of them we see, some of them we observe, some of them we don't know about. You know, some of them maybe he just directs a car out of our path, you know, and he keeps us safe. There's things that go on, but other times, man, we see God work on our behalf. We see what he's done. We pray, and God works a miracle. God works a miracle. You say, well, when? Well, I'll just give you an example. Little Jude Smith, I believe God touched that little baby. The doctor said, well, he's going to have surgery right after he's born, probably the next day. Well, it's been over a month. Been over a month. You say, why? Well, God's able to do what nobody else can even conceive of doing, all right? God's able to do great things. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I feel like God done a miracle in Brother Kelly. I do. Brother Kelly was in serious, serious condition, folks. But boy, God reached down, answered prayer. Why? God's a miracle-working God. God's a miracle-working God. We ought to never back off from that. We ought to realize, hey, that our God is a miracle-working God. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of that. Hey, not only are we to remember the power of God, but I think God's telling these folks here you need to remember the provision of God. What God has provided. That way across the Jordan was the way for them to enter the promised land. The way for them to enter. Hey, had they have tried it on their own, no telling how many would have drowned. Now, they didn't have any pontoon bridges. They didn't have an engineering section. They had none of that. So God said, I'll provide the way for you, all right? He, by the way, he had provided a leader to get them out of Egypt. Providential. God picked him. God said, Moses, spoke to him out of that burning bush and got his attention by that. And he said, you're going to lead my people out of Israel, out of Egypt. God provided a leader for him. You know what? He provided for him for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. You think about it. He took care of them. Everything they needed was supplied. They had food. They had water. They had clothing. 40 years of clothes didn't wear out. Now, they might have got tired of wearing the same clothes, but the clothes were in good shape. They were in good shape. Why? God did it. God did it. He was a He provided for them. Not only that, he's come to this place and he said, I provided a leader to replace Moses for you. I picked one. I provided that leader for you. And now I'm providing an easy way for you to cross this Jordan River and for you to go in and possess the land. Hey, you know what? They needed to remember the provision of God. Can I say this to you? We do too. We need to remember how God's provided for us. Just, you know, do you stop and consider how God's taking care of you? Just stop. You say, well, there's a lot of things I want. Well, hang in there, all right? He said, I'll provide your need. I'll be honest with you. I know some people I don't think who's the richest man you can come up with, all right? I don't think they could satisfy all their wants. Whoever just won that nearly $2 billion lottery deal, they couldn't provide the wants of some people I know because some people have an unending wanter. But God takes care of us, man. God provides for us. He provides for us. You can look at most of us and tell we haven't missed too many meals. We've done all right. You know, he's taken care of us. We've done all right. And the ones that aren't deluxe economy size, a lot of them are that way because they want to be that way. And God's provided. God's provided. We live in a home. Heated, cooled. I was talking to the Bennett's this morning down in southern Brazil. It does get cold. I can remember Brother Don Leaf being here talking about being there, and if it gets colder than it realized, the problem is they don't have heating in their house. Brother Bennett said there's a fireplace in the middle of the house. That's called central heating. And they don't have that. Well, we do. We do. We've got central heat and air. What a blessing God's provided for. You say, well, don't have central heating. Okay, but you got a window unit. You got a space heater. You got a blanket, maybe an electric blanket. We were visiting with our friend Cheryl Fondon this last week, and we got in the bed, and, man, we liked to roast it. Because there was too much blanket on there. We had to take it off, all right? We said, can't sleep like this, you know? It's too good. Hey, we're provided for. We're not sleeping in the floor. We're sleeping in the floor. You said, close to it, but you're not in the floor, all right? Hey, by the way, if you are in the floor, you got a cushion. Hey, God's provided for us. None of us hitchhiked to church, right? The only one may have walked, Brother Frank. He walked sometime. But if he had let us, we'd pick him up. All right? He'd let us, we'd pick him up. Hey, listen, we're provided for. We're provided. God's provided for us. All right? He is the great provider. We need to remember that. We need to remember it. You know what? I think also we need to remember the promises of God. The promises of God. These folks that are entering the land of Canaan, that promised land, God had told them it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and they're going to find out that it was just like he said it was. And he's promised them you're going to be able to possess the land. Go in. He said, I'll fight for you. You know what? They're going to remember those promises. They're going to remember that promise when they circle the city of Jericho 7 times, that one on that 7th day, and they shout, and the trumpets blow, and down come the walls. They're going to say, you know what? That's just like God said. Just like God said. Well, wait a minute. How many times we read our Bible and read the promises of God and we kind of overlook it, but later on we'd stop and think, you know, hey, what he said is what he did. What he said is what he did. We need to remember those promises of God. Hey, he kept them in the past. He's still going to keep them in the future. Still going to keep them in the future. You say, preacher, are you kind of worried about everything, you know, recession and gas prices going up? We're not sure about the folks. Hey, I'm worried about the people in leadership in our country. And by the way, not because of Republican, Democrat, or any of that. I'm just worried about because of what their immorality is, all right? They don't believe the Bible. They don't observe the Word of God. I'm a little worried about that. You said, how worried are you? Not really, because I got the promise of God. Got the promise of God. We look at how it all turns bad. But as we can say, I've read the back of the book. I know how this thing's going to come out. Know how this thing's going to come out. You know, you watch TV shows, and honestly, most of us like a show that, and they lived happily ever after. We like it. Now, some of you like the love stories. What do they call them? Chick flicks, all right? Some people like them. Other people, we like the cowboys, you know. Cowboys and Indians, and or some of you know we like the war and ain't they all that. But honestly, we like it when we get to them where they lived happily ever after. That's what we all want to see. I tell you what, that's the promise of God to you and me. Going to live happily ever after. We've got God's promise. Can I just tell you that? We ought to remember those things. We ought to remember those things. And we ought to have them brought to mind. But wait a minute, won't you look at verse 21? Still got your Bible open there in verse 21. I want to remind you we have a responsibility. He spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? Notice, when your children ask, God let these folks know that they had a responsibility to teach their children about the greatness, the power, and the work of God. Hey, can I say this to you? We've got that. God had worked in the past in their behalf, and that God that worked in the past in their behalf is the same God for today. Hey, the God of the fathers is the God of the children. We don't have to change gods. Okay, well, we don't need to do that. It's the same God. So often, though, and this, boy, I think it's so critical in this day, so often we fail to teach our children. We fail to pass things along. We fail to pass it along. There were some things in my life I wanted to pass on to my children. In the spiritual realm, too often we leave it to the Sunday school teacher. We leave it to the preacher, the pastor, or we leave it to whoever, maybe the Christian school, or we leave it to whoever it is to teach our children what we need to do. But I'll tell you something, that's not their job. They might help you in the doing of it, but that's our job. That's our job. Hey, God's blessed us. If we have the opportunity, kids come in the church, we're to do our part to teach them about the greatness of God and what God's done in the past and what He's done in the past. As the songwriter said, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. He'll do for you. That's our responsibility. It's the responsibility of parents to pass that down. Pass that down. Now, I'll tell you this, you grandparents, if you see the parents not doing the job, you need to step in. Help them out. Say, listen, there's some things I need to teach you about, all right? Hey, we need to let our children know about the supplying power of God, the saving power of God, the securing power of God. We need to let them know it. He hasn't changed. The one that did it in the old days, as we might say, is the one that'll still do it in the present day, all right? The date on the calendar has changed, but the need of folks to trust God hasn't changed a bit. Amen. Not one bit. You say, well, it's a different day. It's the same thing. We still need to trust God. Still need to trust God. We need to pass it on. We need to pass it on. I believe God still can and still does do great miracles. Great miracles. Now, Joshua said, hey, we're going to set up these stones. So when your children ask, you're going to tell them, hey, God made a way for us. He opened this river up and we walked across on dry land. That's what it's going to be for. That's the reason it's there. Well, we put up monuments. How many of you know what the Al Hain Memorial is? The Al Hain Memorial is in Fort Worth. Right? You've heard of it? It's in Fort Worth. They put up a memorial down there for it. A guy gave his life, saving lives of other people. Years ago in Fort Worth. The memorial's still there. People drive by it and they don't see it. They don't see it. Still there. Still there. Don't know what it's for. If they did see it, they'd think, what's that? Drive right on. Right, drive right on. Now, he gave his life. They had a great exposition, and it was there. And the last night of it, it caught on fire. Building was full of people. He kept going in, pulling people out, going in, pulling people out. He finally went back in the last time. He didn't know it, but there wasn't anybody else in there. And the only guy died in the fire was him. Put a memorial for him. But we've let him. We've let people forget. Hey, you say, well, it's a long time ago. How long ago was it when they crossed the Jordan? How long ago was it? And we got to be careful that we don't let the next generation grow up without knowing of the greatness of God. Now, let me put it on a personal level. You ought to have stories that you can pass on in your family of what God has done for your family. I remember my dad telling a story when he was building the church there in Vidalia, going to start the church that's now Calvary Baptist Church. He went to put that church in, and in the doing of it, I won't go into detail, but he broke his leg. And then, now he was working a job, okay? He was working a job, making a living to support his wife and that son right there, because this one hadn't discovered America yet. And so he was working to do that, but in the pulling logs out of the swamp to use to build the building, tractor flipped over on him, broke his leg. Now he can't work. There was nothing in the house. There wasn't anything to eat. But I've heard my dad tell how somebody knocked on the door. Somebody knocked on the door and said, "Preacher, we brought you some groceries." Hey, God supplied the need. You need to talk to this lady right here. Ms. Noble can tell you story after story. I love to hear them. Some of them I've heard more than once. Does she get tired of hearing them? No, sir, man, I don't get tired of hearing them. Every time if she'll tell it, I'll listen to it. And she's got more than one story how God supplied their need when they were in evangelism and they were working and God took care of them. Why? Hey, we serve a mighty God. God, a mighty God. I can tell you the story of my brother in a car wreck. The doctors didn't think he was going to survive it. He got thrown out of the car, and they'd covered him up for dead, put the cloth over him, there, and they thought he was dead. And somebody, I think a police officer, saw his foot moving and said, "Hey, he's not dead." Put him in the ambulance, took him to the hospital. The doctors there didn't think he was going to live. They didn't even bother sewing up some of his cuts because they figured it's a waste of time. But he did. He said, why? Because there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. There's a God in heaven. You know what? Can I say this to you? We need to have some stories. You need to, now I don't mean make them up. But there ought to be some experiences in your life as you've been faithful to God that you can pass down the line and says, won't tell you, God's still in the miracle working business. He still knows how to do it. He still knows how to take care of us. And he still will do it. Hey, we've got a responsibility. We've got a responsibility. Hey, I just ask you, what's God done for you? Who have you told? Who have you told? You say, why the reminders? Three reasons, and I'm done. Number one, God's people are quick to forget. The truth is, we remember our troubles more than our triumphs. We remember, you know what? When we talk to you about people in the Bible, and you talk to people about, for instance, Peter. He denied the Lord three times. Hey, that same guy preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved too. But we remember the failures. Hey, in our life, we remember the troubles oftentimes more than remember the triumphs. That's why we need to be reminded. Hey, we remember the burdens sometimes so much more than we do the blessings. We remember the burdens But we forget the blessing of God. We do that. That causes Christians to complain when we ought to be complimenting. Boy, it causes us to bellyache when we ought to be praising the Lord. Hey, you know what? We ought to rejoice more than we rumble with discontent. Why? Well, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. The truth of the matter is, all the even the great positive thinkers, the truth is we're more negative than we are positive. We're more prone to say, woe is me, than whoopee is me, all right? We're just more reminded to do it. Hey, we need that reminder. Why? Because we're quick to forget. But the second reason we need to do it, would you look at verse 24 there in chapter 4 of Joshua? The first part, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Hey, all the people of, well, how's that going to happen? We need to be reminded to praise Him and let people know what He's done for us. Let people know what He's done for us. I'm not sure of the sincerity of athletes. All right? Now don't try to get ahead of me here. Yesterday I watched, it was the end of some ball game. I don't even remember who was playing, to be honest with you. But they interviewed this player. And I don't know if this is really him or he was putting on a show. But I'm just glad he said it. That when they asked him about it, the first thing it was, I just want to thank the Lord for allowing us to win. Just want to praise Him. He allowed us to do it. And you could tell the interviewer was really uncomfortable. That is not what they wanted to hear. It was, hey, buddy, could you move along, brag on yourself a little bit, you know. Now, I don't know if he's sincere. I hope he was. I hope he was. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us, and he did. He said, first of all, I just want to give the glory to my Lord. I hope he meant it. I hope he lives that way, okay? I don't know if he does, but I hope he does. But you know what? Wouldn't it be good if every time somebody would say, man, thank God for what happened. Thank God. Boy, you say, man, how'd you survive? Well, God's good. God's good. I don't know. I don't think I could have done it without him. You know, I told you one time I was reading this article in the Reader's Digest. I love to read drama in real life. Some of those stories are just absolutely amazing. And this was one about, man, a vehicle that was crushed hanging over a bridge. And, boy, I mean, there was a set of circumstances that you would not believe that allowed that person to be rescued. But there wasn't a word in there about thank God. Not one word. And I tell you, it ought to be with us every time, just thank God. Thank God. Sure could have been a whole lot worse. I sure am glad God had everything lined up, man. And, you know, the article, just circumstances. Doesn't tell you, with you as a child of God, there are no accidents. God's in control. We ought to let the world know of the might of our God. Man, we ought to know the hand of the Lord. It is mighty. Mighty. I look back and think of the Six-Day War back in, 1967, I think, over there in Israel. Man, they were jumped on by every nation around them. And no way in the world they were going to win, but they did. The mighty hand of God. You go back to 1948. You ought to sit down. You ought to read. So don't like to read. You ought to read, okay? I don't care if you like to read or not. But reading about how when they were declared an independent country and they were given their freedom and Israel was again on the map as a country for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years as God had promised. And once again, man, they were jumped on and defenseless. And boy, it just looked like they wasn't going to survive. So how'd they do it? The mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. You mark her down. We need to let people know. We need to let people know. But not only that, look again at verse 24, and I want you to see the rest of it. The rest of that verse says, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Tell you, the fear of God's missing in most people. Fear of God's missing in most folks today. I'll be real honest with you. There's some things I wouldn't do because I fear God. Amen. I just fear God. I wouldn't think about doing them. The world of Christianity seems to have built themselves a God who is just a good buddy. Just a good buddy. One who understands their frailty and never really demands anything of them. He's simply love, so there's nothing to fear. Can I say this to you? That's not the God of the Bible. That is not the God of the Bible. Man, you and I ought to have a healthy fear of God. I honestly say this. I think it's easier for me to fear God because I had a fear of my dad. A fear of my dad. You said, did you run your life? No, but I had a fear of him. And that caused me to do some things, or maybe I should say it kept me from doing some things that I might have done because I feared my God. I feared my dad. Those days where people came and said, hey, it's not going to hurt. They won't find out. Yeah, they will. Yeah, he will find out. And I knew what the reckoning day would come. Hey, I feared, you know what? I'm glad I grew up and was taught to do that because now it's easy. It's easy for me to fear God. Fear God. Now, I don't live my life. But I tell you what, I live my life walking circumspectly. Why? Because I fear God. I fear God. He's able to do and he will do. And he's told us that we're to live a certain way. And he said, if you don't, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I've told I don't know how many people, they bring their kids, put them in our Christian school, and one of the things I tell them is, look, you put your kids in our school, and they say, well, what's your discipline? I'll say, well, and I always tell them this, if you do the job you should as a parent, we won't have much trouble at school. I never worried about what would happen at school, but I sure worried about what happened if they heard about it at home. They heard about it at home. I think I've told you about it. My dad always said, you get a whipping at school, you get a whipping, you get home. I got one lick in schools in the 10th grade. And I told my dad about it after I graduated from college. I was pretty sure the statute of limitations was passed. And, I feared him. I feared him. We had a situation in Florida one time where a fellow got hurt. It was during teacher's meeting. The kids and this parent were down at a park, and he got hurt, needed to go to the doctor, and they were there, and we brought him back up there, and we walked in the teacher's meeting, interrupted the teacher's meeting. And I remember I was right behind them when they opened the door, and my dad saw me, and he gave me that look. And when he did, I thought, maybe this wasn't that important. We could have waited. He wouldn't have quite bled to death. We could have waited till this meeting was over. Why? Feared my dad. I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you, I fear my God. I fear my God. One of these days, I'm going to have to stand before him. One of these days, I'm going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to give an account of the deeds done in this body. I'm going to have to face him. Not worried about hell, but I sure do want his approval. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him say that. My friend, I'm going to tell you, I want him to hear say that to you. When you stand there, I want you to hear him say, well done. I think there's a lot better chance if we fear our God. We fear our God. We've got it. Hey, God's reminded us in his word of our responsibility to remember his work on our behalf. And also our responsibility to tell the next generation what he's done. What he's done. Now, here's the problem. I realize there's some of you sitting here saying, and my salvation story's no big deal. I mean, you know, I wasn't a gangster. I wasn't a gangster when I got saved. I wasn't, you know, spared a life of prison because God saved me. No, me either. He said, hey, I got saved when I was 9 years old. You know what my testimony is? You talk about the power of God, I can tell you what he kept me out of. What he kept me out of. Now, some of you, your salvation testimony is what he saved you out of. But I'm going to tell you this straight out. Both of them are great testimonies. Don't you ever discount that testimony that says, well, I never did this. I never came home drunk. I never passed out drinking. I never did this. I never did that. Never, you know, held up a grocery store or armed robbery. I never did. Yeah, thank God, never did it. All right. Thank God, I'm glad I've got that testimony. That's a testimony about what God did for you. Okay. Our responsibility to tell the next generation. Yeah, what he's done. How you doing? How you doing? Do you remember the blessing or the burden? Is it the trouble or the triumph you testifying of? Do you need to help your memory some way? Maybe get you a little notebook and begin to write down the blessing of God. Maybe you need to sit down sometime when it's just you and think about what God's done for you. What he's done for you. Hey, a lot of it's what he did, because he did it, you're here. No telling where you would have been, but you're here because of what God did. Hey, do you need a little reminder every now and then? Need a reminder. God's given us his word. And maybe you need to stack up some stones in the corner of your yard. I don't know. But you need to do whatever you need to do. You ought to do it so you don't forget what God's done. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Hey, pass it on. Pass it on. Let people know that all the miracles of God are not just recorded here. There are some other great things been done. And God's done it. God's done it. I don't tell you, say, I don't know of one. I'll tell you one, Mountain Valley Baptist Church. He said, what do you mean? They're sitting there with a building they have to insure for over $4 million. They didn't pay half of a million for it. Why? Miracle of God. Miracle of God. God's still mighty. God's still mighty. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us to remember your goodness, your greatness, your glory. Lord, what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to pass it on. Help us tell the world about the mighty hand of God. Lord, help us to be the people that fear you. And because of that, Lord, live a different life. Lord, tonight, would you just speak to us? Lord, I don't know if people need to come. The altar's going to be open if they do. But Lord, would you speak to our hearts? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?